We'd like to call the meeting to order. Could you please stand for the pledge, Mr. Crawford?
Please rise and face the flag and follow after me, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
So we have new microphones, so bear with us. We're not sure quite how to work them, so hopefully they'll be on. And we also have our new timers that we have for when we have our public comments.
26 seconds. How long's passed?
So there was no action taken in closed session. Let the record show that Mr. Boom is absent tonight and all the rest of the board members are present. We have our student representative to the board, Leticia Staples. Excuse me, Leticia.
Okay, so from Lyndhurst High School, here at Lyndhurst High School, our students have been working hard to stay on top of all of their grades and still play sports at the same time. Our students are the best at juggling numerous tasks at one time. Finals are in a few weeks, and our students are preparing themselves to excel in each class. With Thanksgiving break and winter break just around the corner, spirits are very high to finally relax after a tough first semester. Our Halloween costume contest went amazing. The number of participants was amazing. The creativity and effort put into these costumes was outstanding. The leadership class is currently working hard to plan our annual winter ball. Our winter ball is known for its elegance and charm. Our winter ball is surely going to be an amazing night. Travis Barnett from MJUSD Facilities Department is coming today to speak to our Student Senate about concerns that we have about our campus. We are excited to meet with him and share our concerns and our pride in our school. It is also very important to know how fortunate you are. The LHS leadership class has set up a wall of thanks for students to write what they are thankful for and to spread love within our school. Before we go on break, we first are helping many organizations and causes as we can. The leadership class has been holding a canned food drive. All the donations received will be donated to the So You Can organization. The So You Can organization provides support. Currently we have donated over 1,000 cans, but we are still donating more every day. Our surrounding cities have been hit with tragedies, the city of Paradise being absolutely wiped out by the fire. Some of our teachers have had to evacuate, and we hope for the best. Our clubs at LHS are working to get donations for the residents of Paradise and whoever else was affected by the fire. The senior class has decided to make a change by having a donation box where everything is welcome. Clothes, food, accessories, blankets, etc. are all encouraged to be donated starting November 13th. The Interact Club, known for their fantastic amount of community service, will also be helping make a change for their fire survivors. They are holding a warm drive. Any clothes from old to new are appreciated. Friday Night Live has also joined in on helping Paradise. They are encouraging everyone to donate clothes, water, and any food possible. This is the season of giving, and Lyndhurst High School is invested in giving to those in need. So MCAA. The drama club production of You Can't Take It With You was very successful and well-performed. The play concluded on November 4th. MCAA students are currently rehearsing for the beginning drama production of Cinderella, which will open on January 24th. Music Week begins December 3rd and runs through December 6th. Music Week consists of 4 evenings of performances by our strings, choir, concert band, drumline, jazz band, vocal technique, guitar, and piano students. Winter Time, which consists of performances by all of our dance students, will be on Friday, December 7th, and Saturday, December 8th. On December 8th, there will be both a matinee and an evening performance. These performances will be held at Marysville Youth and Civic Center. The MCAA band and drumline will be participating in the Cities of Marysville's Christmas Parade on Saturday, December 1st. The Winter Ball will be on Saturday, January 19th at the Yuba Center Fairgrounds. The theme of the night is Masquerade in Marysville High School. Ending October, Marysville High School finished homecoming week with our football game and crowning of the King and Queen. Many staff members, students, and families came to support the homecoming royalty. Candyland Homecoming was a success, and many happy memories were made. Starting November, there are many events happening at Marysville. Our annual blood drive is right around the corner. Many students are signing up to give blood and save many lives. The blood drive is always very successful and the students love it. Another giving event being put on by a student council is the canned food drive. All of the classes are bringing non-perishable food to give and help people in need. The leadership class is planning a battle rally. The rally is always one of the students' favorites. This year is the battle of new school versus old school. The winter ball is in the planning process. It will be the second year Marysville has held this ball. The theme of the ball is winter in the woods. Many students are working hard to plan the decorations, the food, and everything else to make this dance a success. Another event in the process of being planned is Adopt a Family. This is where a teacher and one of his or her classes adopts the family this Christmas to go and purchase and wrap gifts for children in that family. These families are in need, and every gift brings smiles on the little kids' faces. As of now, teachers are starting to adopt their family for the holiday season. Next month, we are looking forward to other giving projects around this wonderful time of year.
Thank you, Leticia. Next, we have presentations. First presentation will be the Williams Act update. Dr. Revelles, Ms. Abelt.
Good evening, members of the board. Dr. Starkey, members of the cabinet, first and foremost, I'd like to express my respect, el corazón, from the heart to all of you. Thank you for allowing us to join you today. The reason I'm here is to make our annual report on the Williams Act, their specific responsibilities. I am joined right now also by my colleague, dear colleague, Assistant Superintendent Bobby Abel, who will get into specifics. But let me give you a quick framework with regards to the Williams Act. There's a number of key items that we, as a county superintendent, we are charged to carry out these responsibilities. Number one, to conduct annual visits to schools during the first 4 weeks of class, to determine whether all students have sufficient access to instructional materials in all core subject areas, to monitor whether teachers have the appropriate certifications and classroom assignments, to review the school facilities, that they are maintained in good repair, and that the buildings and the grounds are safe and clean and functional, to verify the accuracy of school accountability report cards relevant to instructional materials, facilities, and teacher credentialing, and finally, to ensure that the school has posted the district's uniform complaint procedures and that the district quarterly reports are submitted. So now I'd like to have Assistant Superintendent Abel join me here for a more specific overview. Bobby.
Good evening. First of all, I would like to thank Lenny Tate and Mike Hodson for making this a collaborative process this year. We did add another component to the process for our reports. After we conducted both the instructional materials site visits as well as the facility inspection visits, I met with Mr. Hodson and went over the preliminary reports to make sure that we were on the same page and that we didn't have any surprises for tonight. So I feel like this was a significant improvement towards positive collaborative processes. So we'll continue to seek feedback and move forward so we could make this as good. Have I said collaborative about a dozen times already? So. The focus is to make it a more collaborative and transparent process. We did conduct the visits at the six sites, Cedar Lane Elementary, Johnson Park Elementary, Linda Elementary, Yuba Feather Elementary, Yuba Gardens Intermediate, and Lyndhurst High School. So this was my eighth year doing the visits, and I have to say that I enjoy the relationships that I've been able to make with the site administrators and the assistant principals that assist me in my visits. You have an excellent administrative team. It's really good to have an opportunity to get into the schools and see the classrooms and have a few minutes to talk with principals just about general what's going on in the classroom. So I did enjoy that again this year. We conducted those visits. We managed to streamline things, and we were in and out of schools from September 4th through 7th. One of my personal goals, having been a teacher and a site administrator for many years, is to not interrupt the instructional process. And I think that we have done a really good job streamlining that process. We have 25% of our visits are unannounced, but they're always ready. And so if I can get in and look and verify the instructional materials without having to stop class, that's always a good thing. There were no material insufficiencies with instructional materials. With regards to the teacher credentialing, teacher misassignments actually will be reviewed again in the spring and then reported in the third quarter. Jennifer Allreed in our office works with you all to make sure that that's all in alignment, and she said there was nothing of concern. Reviewing the school facilities are in good repair. All of the sites this year were found to be in fair or good repair. So the several sites, it was Cedar Lane, Linda, and Lynnhurst last year that there were some extreme deficiencies reported, and there were none this year. So also something that we did with regards to that was we made sure that someone from your maintenance staff was there and actually did the walkthroughs at the same time with our maintenance department. And so on our side, we felt like that was a really good thing to do. And I think also in meeting with Mr. Hodson, that made sure we were on the same page. Let's see, SARCs were reviewed and accurate, and there were no uniform complaints filed. So that's the end of my report, unless you have any questions of me. Okay, thank you.
So I actually just had a comment. It seems as though we, as you mentioned, Ms. Abelt, that six sites, we had four that were rated in the good and two in the fair. And, you know, rest assured that those items in the fair zone will be addressed by our staff.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Before we go to our next presentation, I would like to thank Mr. Williams for our new electronics that we have, and we got our clocks and everything. Thank you, and our floor looks much nicer. Thank you, Brian. Next, we have our Wellness Committee annual report. Amber?
Have a copy in front of you as well. Right. Good evening, members of the board and Dr. Starkey. I'm Amber Watson, Director of Nutrition Services, and I also chair the Wellness Committee. Our district's current student wellness policy requires an annual evaluation and board updates to updates on compliance and initiatives around wellness in our schools. The district's School Wellness Council leads the wellness charge with meeting three times a year to advise on training, implementation, and future wellness goals. We will be reporting on data collected in May of 2018, reflective of the 17-18 school year. The committee created an ad hoc committee last year to focus on nutrition education. This committee met once in the 17-18 school year and plans to meet three times a year going forward. At this time, I'd like to introduce my co-presenters representing the committee. We have Chelsea Slattery. Chelsea is a Nutrition, Family, and Consumer Sciences Advisor with Cooperative Extension, and she also chairs our ad hoc committee. Tina Bond is our Lynnhurst Nutrition Site Manager 3. Jerry Eccles is our Marysville High Nutrition Site Manager 3. Caitlin Hess is here representing Marysville High ASB as the treasurer. And lastly, Jessica Guth, Director of Program Services, will be joining us as well. The wellness policy evaluation was created with each part of the policy in mind. It consists of a series of questions pertaining to different groups that may be involved with wellness activities on the school campus. Each criteria asks schools to reply as a needs improvement, meets expectations, or exceeds expectations. During data analysis, each response is assigned a number value of 0, 1, or 2. Supplemental questions were added to get more qualitative data from each school site stemming from wellness and nutrition initiatives to help provide resources to schools where needed. And you'll be seeing some of those highlights as well as responses come back. We will present each section of the evaluation first with an overview slide that specifies the goals of that section. And then you'll see a results slide that compares the data from the prior year with the current year. And then we'll highlight some themes from the reports. So at this time, I'd like to invite Chelsea to come up.
Good evening. The first section that we'll cover that is part of the wellness policy evaluation is the overview of health and safety. So this is where you'll see more of the anti-bullying policies and the different ways that schools encourage healthy eating and physical activity. This slide here shows you the data from 2017 and from 2018. And as you can see, the data indicates a substantial improvement in elementary schools, while intermediate and high schools decreased slightly, but both groups are still within the meeting expectations. This is this slide highlights some of the best practices within the school district. So you'll see the BMX assembly was incorporated into Red Ribbon Week to highlight other alternatives to drugs, such as physical activity. Also, there were 3 water stations that went into different schools last year, and so that was Yuba Gardens, MCAA, and Marysville High School. Another best practice, the district has the button on the website for anti-bullying. And then the PBIS is used to help with social, emotional, and academic success.
Good evening. So this section on physical education and nutrition education and school-based activities indicates the required minutes for physical education, goals for providing nutrition education through integration and before and after school activities that promote physical activity and healthy eating habits. This next section data indicates slight improvement from the intermediate high schools while elementary decreased slightly, both groups in meeting expectation range. To note some success, schools with the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program grant have been provided with school-wide Dairy Council curriculum for every classroom. We have created an ad hoc committee that focuses on nutrition education. We had our first meeting in September 2017. And we're able to schedule about a dozen academies with education services throughout last school year. These academies are provided through our community partners that support our district with free nutrition education curriculum. The board policy and administrative regulations have goals for meeting the National School Lunch Program regulations and criteria for selling food on campus. In California, we have both federal and state regulations in regards to selling foods outside the National School Lunch Program. Some improvements are seen in this section with growth from both groups of schools. Nutrition Services provides free meal for all students. Menus are planned using a menu committee, and new items are introduced to the committee and students. Only when product tests well with students do they move forward to being featured on the menu. Staff participate in monthly trainings on topics related to their job. Topics include nutrition, food safety, and positive communication with students. Isn't that a pretty slide? Only because my lunch is on it, I like it the best. School culture around food has changed. More students are consuming fruit and vegetables with the implementation of the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program at 8 grant schools. Students are trying new and different things. Meal access at breakfast and lunch is now equitable with all students eating for free. Students are involved in providing guidance on what is put on the menu, and kitchen staff are encouraged to sample new menu items for students to taste. We have strengthened partnership with our community organizations to provide nutrition education. Student groups have access to procuring approved foods to sell to their student body: popcorn, Gatorade, granola bars, fruit, and popsicles. And look at that lovely picture. Don't you love that salad bar? Have a good evening.
Good evening. The wellness policy sets goals for staff to be role models for healthy behaviors. Parent groups are asked to promote health in their activities and fundraisers. And food sold during the school day must meet nutrition guidelines for calories, fat, sugar, and sodium. Our policy has also set goals for encouraging healthy classroom celebrations as well. Both groups are meeting expectations. While the elementary saw a small decrease, 0.3 of a point, there was notable growth in the intermediate and high schools. Schools are promoting class parties at the end of the day. This encouraged students to still eat healthy lunches and enjoy treats later. Several schools are conducting healthy options for fundraising, selling bags of local oranges and jogathons. Some schools are reporting difficulty with too many sweets and treats brought to the classroom by parents and difficulty understanding nutrition guidelines.
In this section of the policy, schools are encouraged to promote health and safety. In addition, student groups are required to sell food that meets the same nutrition requirements already mentioned. The food items must be pre-approved for this group, and the primary and secondary schools must have different regulations for frequency of food sales. Intermediate and high school showed a large increase from last year in this section. At MHS, we have strengthened our partnered with nutrition services by procuring the approved items from them to ensure that we are getting the right products. This also decreases the burden on ASB staff to shop and search for the correct items. It is delivered directly to the kitchen on a weekly basis. Student clubs are playing an active role in ensuring their fundraising activities meet the requirements. As ASB treasurer, I review each of their fundraising efforts before they are submitted for approval by the school and district. Picnic days have been used in place of food days to promote healthy food and activity among students. This keeps unhealthy fast food off of our campus. Instead, we work with nutrition services to serve a picnic meal in the cafeteria. Students are involved in taste tests with nutrition services to give feedback on potential new items and recipes.
Good evening. Our health services section focuses on policy highlights. The district nurses educate health services and school sites on communicable disease control policies, assistance with nutrition, respiratory management, disease prevention, detection, tobacco cessation, and emotional wellness. They assist with non-mandated health screenings, serve as a source of information on low to no cost health care resources and health insurance, and community outreach activities. You will see that in our... We actually, based on this, we declined. We went from exceeds expectations to meets expectations, but I do want to point out that the reason for the change is we had different people doing the survey. So the nurses actually complete the survey for every school. And so we have three nurses. And in 2017, we had one nurse complete all of the surveys for every school. And this year, they each took schools and completed it. So when we came together to review the data, it was just, you know, just their opinion. One was marking meets and the other one was marking exceeds. So it's kind of a different data comparison. However, I do think that we are continuing to meet expectations. We are continuing, last year we continued to hold the diabetic health fair, participate in the annual nutrition fair. We perform screenings, mandated screenings, hearing and vision, and we provided referral resources. New practices that we implemented last year were collaboration with the Yuba County Health Department, which we collaborated before, but now we are having quarterly meetings with them. And we created a webpage for parents to have easier access to health information and resources. And we also implemented an AED at each school site with a maintenance program. So those are the things we're doing to follow the wellness policy.
Okay, and so here we'll share some of the site level goals that came out of this year's wellness evaluations. 8 schools reported classroom donations of food as a top priority. 6 mentioned the need for a designated PE teacher and or additional training for physical activity promotion. 6 also reported a desire to see a better integration of nutrition, health, and wellness into curriculum. And 5 mentioned the goal of improving modeling of healthy behaviors among teachers and staff. So we also sent out a survey to assess the awareness of the Marysville Joint Unified School Wellness Policy, and 62% of the respondents were somewhat aware of the school wellness policy. 75% were unsure of where to access the policy. 61% were not very or not at all aware of the wellness requirements, and 70% of respondents are or may be interested in learning more about the district's wellness policy. So this is something that's really guided the work of the Nutrition Ad Hoc Committee. And the next steps are to conduct this survey with parents to assess their awareness. And then the data from the parent and the staff survey will help the Nutrition Ad Hoc Committee develop a wellness flyer or brochure that will assist with reaching key stakeholders. And do you want to share this part? Oh, okay.
Tonight on your agenda, we have a revision to the ASB food list. We have an elementary, an intermediate, and a high school food list. Now the requirements are all different. So we look forward to having that approved for use at the schools as well. And now we'll take any questions.
Any questions or comments from the board members? Mr. Allison?
Actually, I just wanted to try out this microphone. No, I'm just curious, okay? I remember like when I was growing up, and my kids, when they were growing up and going to schools in Marysville, and when I used to go sometimes around schools, I remember kids growing gardens and stuff, and I know that we're an agricultural community, and we have ag programs in the high school. And I was just curious, how much of the stuff that the kids grow ends up into this program, or if any? And can that be somehow, am I just completely off base here?
Well, we have schools being supported through our community partners with their school gardens. I can't think how many, I think it's maybe 6 or 7 through the Communities of Healthy, Center for Healthy Communities out of Chico. They have a, we're in their kind of scope of work to support that work at the schools. I think they're a little limited on their reach, so they themselves can't be in every school in our district, but we do have school gardens happening at the school sites.
Another question. This thing's weird. How far away can I get, and you can still hear me? I live up in Loma Rica, and I know there's a lot of fruit, you know, vegetable stands, fruit stands up there, and out there on the other side of the dump out on Walnut and plants. And so I was wondering, when I go to those places, you know, a couple of them know that I'm a school board member, and they tell me, well, you know, I really want to set up a program for elementary kids to come here and visit. So would they come and contact you, or who would they come and contact you, start working on that?
For a field trip, it'd probably be best to talk with the site administrator to organize a field trip. I'd be happy to help collaborate, but it's more of a site.
So I can give them your name.
I can help, yeah.
Okay.
Or it might be, sometimes it's easier to bring the farmer to the school and then having the farmer come to the school rather than the students to the farm. So that's always an option too. We've done a couple of those through our fresh fruit and vegetable grants.
Okay.
Schools.
Okay, thank you.
We didn't highlight this in the report, but my department does procure some local produce as well. So we're getting gold kiwis and Satsuma mandarins locally right now. And we try to do that every year when the season is good. We've also done peaches and pluots as well locally. So.
Any other comments?
Amber, in my 38 years of seeing nutrition in the schools as a teacher, now my third term as a board member, I think the best survey I was able to give, as I've seen the 70s and 80s and 90s and how the food had changed and everything, the best survey is just to ask my kids or my grandkids or the kids at lunch, hey, how was breakfast or how was lunch? And in the last few years, it has exceeded expectations, and I think we owe it all to you and your staff, and I want to thank you. I know that we are lucky enough, fortunate enough to get to supply breakfast and lunch to all our children, and I think that's one of the greatest things this district has. A lot of the kids from Cedar Lane to Kynock to McKinney, that's the only food they'll eat all day, so keep up the good work. Done a great job.
Thank you.
Yes, I would just like to commend you, Amber, and your team that you have here that feed our students daily. And I did have one question. The statistics that we were kind of talking about a couple of slides ago, was that from a staff survey? Because it says we have a parent survey maybe coming up.
Yes, we conducted a staff awareness survey, I think in the middle of May. And we were intending to do the parent survey at the same time. It just never got deployed. It was a couple more steps to do the parent survey. So we're in that process of doing the parent right now through an online or a printed one. So all the schools have the printed parent surveys right now, and we're collecting that data.
So the parent survey has went out?
The parent one is out right now on the district website. Okay. And then the staff one kind of closed already. They're essentially the same questions. We decided to do it separate so we can keep the data separate.
One of the requests that I would have would be to give the board members a head up that we're going to do a survey. Because I had questions, hey, what's this survey about? And I didn't even have a clue, so I had to go on the website and take the survey myself. But if you could maybe, or someone would give us a heads up in the Friday notes or memos about surveys that are going out to the public and staff.
Absolutely. I will do that.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Next we have our Bogue Elementary School. Ms. Vetti?
I tested this earlier and it's pretty loud, so back up here. Good evening, Dr. Starkey, Mr. Carrion, Mr. Hodson, and board trustees. Thank you for the opportunity to present on behalf of our Bogue school. My name is Ashley Vetti, and this is my first year as principal at our Bogue, but in a way, I feel like I've kind of returned home. For those of you that don't know, I grew up in the community of our Bogue, and I'm still very connected with the community. My parents still live about a mile from the school. And I can see their back fence from the playground. So I tell the kids every day, see that white corral fence over there? That's the house I grew up in. So being a part of this team, it's truly an honor and a privilege. I feel very honored to have followed Eric Preston. He's been very helpful with the transition and continues to still be very helpful to me. And I look forward to being a part of any new growth that happens, hopefully starting about 3 months ago. So, all right. I'm gonna do my best not to repeat everything that was in the report that you read. So I'm gonna try to put some photos, and I can't wait to get to this slide, Mr. Allison, so I can explain a little bit more. I was dying over there to say something, but we'll get there. So I'm gonna start with some data. I feel like it's always good to kind of know what we're looking at and talking about, because really it is all about academic achievement. And so I just put together a couple of slides that shows where our BOGA falls. And although we're still achieving in the low range, we've maintained. And so this is the snapshot of, this would be last year's data. And so hopefully in the next, I would say, I think it's, we're looking at just a few weeks until the new dashboard data comes out. But if you look at the maintained, I mean, it's declined by less than 3 points or increased by less than 3 points. That's a tiny margin. So we're hoping that when the new data comes out, it'll show that we've increased, which will push us over into a different color, which will be pretty exciting. We get really excited about those color-coded squares. And this is math. Math also was maintained in that tiny margin. And I think what's noteworthy about this and what stands out to me in coming to this school and having grown up in Arboga, this site has experienced some really significant changes over the last decade or so, probably even more. But I never attended Arboga, but my friends all did. I finished at Linda School and then came and then went to Yuba Gardens. But it was really tiny. And so for those of you that know, Arboga was always that tiny, tiny little country school. We're right under 500 right now. Last year, I believe they got up to 527 at the highest. And I think that was the third highest or largest school, elementary school in the district at that time. 20% of our population is in intra-district transfers from other places in the district. And the attendance area stretches all the way down to about 2nd Avenue in all of First. So all the way on that Arboga, Feather River side, and then as far down as 2nd Avenue, which is down quite a ways down Arboga Road. So even with all the growth and knowing that it is a really big school, for whatever reason, it still feels like a tight-knit country school, very quaint little country school at heart. So knowing that we have some work to do academically, we've sat down as a team a number of times. And the one of the great things about Arboga, and I learned this when I came over this summer, there's a committee at this school for everything. There is a committee for scheduling, a committee for PBIS, for PLCs, for just groups of people that can really drill down and get together to put their heads together to help. And so knowing what we know about the growth that we need to make academically and how we need to push our students forward, the two biggest goals, and I included these two things in my report, were PBIS and the PLC work. And so I included this attendance data with my squiggly little purple line there, which basically just shows a snapshot of last year, first 3 months, and then this year, the first 3 months. And all 3 months this year, we've increased. And so I crunched some numbers, and just with even the smallest percentage, I mean, that's usually about 5 more students that attended than they did last year, all the way up to much bigger numbers. But we've increased, and we're hoping to keep our attendance above 96-97%. So, but we're doing well so far. So that's important because we know that in order to educate kids, they need to be there. They need to be present. They need to be in school and in class. And even more than that, they need to be engaged. So we really believe that our PBIS program and the PLCs are helping engage students every day. And so I'm going to go through a couple of pictures and just kind of showcase some of the highlights. I started to connect with teachers in July when we attended, was it July, June or July, the PLC conference in Santa Clara. And so we've been working together. The school's been in for 3 months, but together for 5 months. I'm going to grab some water because the smoke is... Thank you. I knew that was going to happen. So we've been working together on PBIS and PLC goals. And in addition to the PLC conference, we had a grade level team attend a conference called Get Your Teach On. And it's all about how to engage kids in thematic lessons and units. And they've done a couple this year. And it's the most entertaining way I've ever seen teachers teach in my life. So if you ever want to Google something interesting, the Get Your Teach On, it's basically like watching a show in class. And so the last one that I observed, they were speaking with accents, and they had their classrooms decked out like diners, and everything was thematically put together, and they pulled everything from Go Math and from Wonders and tied it all in together. I mean, the amount of work I think it takes to pull these things off is incredible, but through the whole thing, they had perfect attendance. So kids don't want to miss when it's interesting. And we've already got teachers who want to attend that same conference next year, so pretty neat. This is our Silver PBIS Implementation Award, that little insignia there, which we're hoping to have painted somewhere in our cafeteria. We're pretty proud of that. And so I do have to give kudos to Eric and all that he did in the process to implement PBIS, and now it will be a big job to keep it going, because to earn gold, which is what we've set our sights on, it's more than just implementation, and we were even talking about it today during a PBIS meeting. You've got to show data. You've got to show what the results are from implementation. So Silver was awesome, and it felt really good to get it because we know we've implemented correctly. But to earn gold, you've got to be able to show how it's helping not only academically, or not only behaviorally, but also academically, how in the classroom it's making an impact. Let's see. So one thing I know, when I came aboard, one of the things that the staff had asked was to really track our data for suspensions and referrals better. They wanted some extra support with discipline. And so we know as of today, and I didn't write the data down, I apologize, but our suspension rate, I think, was down by, it was pretty significant. And then I want to say 19-20%. And then our referral rate has also dropped quite significantly. And so to earn gold, there are certain percentages that we've got to achieve. So we're really tracking that right now pretty carefully, which keeps everybody aware and the staff connected to what we're doing. The other major goal for our BOGA is the PLC work, and we know all of this is so interconnected. So when behavior is good, we know that we can focus on learning with students, and when behavior's out of control, it makes it really difficult. So once our behavior and our school climate is really positive, it makes it easier for the teachers to teach. And so our BOGA has a fully operational system for providing interventions, and we call it WIN, which stands for What I Need. And we're all working currently to streamline and ensure that all of those sessions are not only targeting bolder standards, but that they're engaging. And so that that can be a little more difficult because we've got teachers who are teaching different things coming together and collaborating on different grade levels. So some are teaching up, some are teaching down. And so just kind of right now streamlining and making sure that the teachers also have what they need. And that's kind of the premise of our last staff meeting is, you know, teacher win too. What do the teachers need in order to be successful? Because if they don't have what they need, then it makes it more difficult to provide what the students need. And then I just have a few photos that I wanted to share. I always think it's good to see students. I know that some of you have made it out to our BOGA and some of you haven't, so you're invited, and I'd love to host you, especially to Flag Assembly. It would be a great thing to come watch. So we've, this year, with the focus on PBIS and making school fun, we've turned our flag assemblies into rallies, and so the bottom photo is our cougar, who I feel like we need to get eyeballs for soon. It looks a little hollow, but the kids are playing Plinko, and so we have game shows and fun stuff, and then the next slide is our Roars Awards, which we do academic achievement awards still, but we also have our character awards or our PBIS awards for students who are exhibiting good behavior. And then this I included just because it's been a really busy 3 months. You know, the fall when school starts, it's just one thing after another. And there's been some amazing events at our BOGA. And I came to the fall festival at our BOGA. as far back as I can remember when they used to have the haunted house in the community center. And so this was our fall festival this year. That's me in the dunk tank, and that was the first girl who hit the target there. Her mom got that action shot, which I thought was fun. I had a snorkel and a mask on. That's why you can't see my face. And then this, kind of a random pairing of pictures, but this was students working on writing in a classroom, and then this was, we participated in the Great Shakeout earthquake safety drill, and this was my favorite. I told this class they did the best job. So it's duck, cover, and hold on, and they were doing all of those things. And then this was before our jogathon. This is one of our two. We at Arboga were able to hire two new teachers this year, and this is one of the two. Her name is Autumn Jermakins, and this is with her 4-5 combo class. She's been a great addition. And then we had just recently Officer Kenny Souls came and did a demonstration with his dog, which was super fun, very interesting for kids. And then we had, of course, Red Ribbon Week with all the dress-up days, which are always fun. And then this, I wanted to make sure I talked about student safety and some of the physical changes. You may have heard about some of these things. At the beginning of the year, we had some issues just kind of streamlining the Raptor process and vetting folks in and getting them cleared through that process. And so we kind of rerouted preschool over to the preschool entrance, and then the district maintenance people installed this new fence. So this safety fence with these gaps in between, it's 10-foot sections with 4-foot openings, and that was open before, and it was really dangerous as cars came around the curve for students on the sidewalk. So really quickly, just in a matter of days, we had this fence installed, and as it was being installed and the posts were up, we even had a post get hit by a car coming around. So we know that it's serving a really good purpose for kids, and that was helpful. And then our school garden, as I was looking around trying to find a really nice picture, this was today during with the smoke, I wanted to get a good picture of the grounds, which is kind of hard. A lot of our grass is on the brown side right now. So I went to the garden, which is where we do have green. And so I was going to say, Mr. Allison, we do have Chico State, the Center for Healthy Communities comes out and works, but it takes a really committed teacher to make that happen. So they could come out, but unless we have a teacher to carry kind of through, which we do, it would all just kind of fall apart because all this has to be done once they leave. So the Chico State team comes out with a group, and they work in the garden. And we do have a farm to fork where they take and take what they've grown and harvested, and then they cook with the Chico State group. So that's pretty awesome. And I actually had two sixth graders cut some food from our garden today so that I could bring. And it's all kinds of things. I didn't even know there was such a thing as dinosaur kale, but they've grown it. And so there's a lot of produce here that they've bagged up and labeled so that if you'd like, you can take some on your way out. And if not, I figured, Mr. Hodson, you could take it for your friendly animals at home. So with that, I think that's kind of Arboga, the first 3 months in a nutshell. This is every day is a new day for me this year. For the whole year, it'll be a first day. So I'm just really getting to know the site and the staff, and so it's going to be a really exciting year. If you have any questions.
Great. Thank you, Ashley. Any comments or questions?
I just have a comment. Ashley, I've watched your career as you started the district, and back in junior high, I remembered you. You've really done a great job. I'm very proud of you. Everywhere you've done, the after-school program you did were amazing when you were in there. And that's my area, the Arboga area. And I hear a lot of good comments. We got a principal. They loved Eric Priston, of course. Yes. But they realize that you care. And that's the thing. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And you've, in 3 months, related to those, the staff and the kids that you deeply care. And I'm just really proud of watching your career from the time you were a little bitty girl. And even before that, was a bus driver for your father, as you know. So been around a long time, but you've really done good, and I'm very, very proud of you, Ashley.
I have to say, I think it was only 1 or 2 years because you're only a year or two. So I think my dad must have been 18 and you were probably 20. And you, you make yourself
I
sound.
I was 19 and he was 18.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Fleury.
You're welcome, Ashley.
I would just like to also commend you and your team that what you're doing, Ashley. It's great things there at Arboga. So thank you.
Thank you. I have an amazing team. They definitely are making me look good then because they're strong, super strong.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any others? Thank you. Comments from board members. Mrs. Scott? Mr. Davis?
If I can get this to work right. I just wanted to commend the Marysville Charter Academy's production. You can't take it with you. I was lucky enough to get to the Sunday matinee, and I was surprised at the attendance and the excitement. And having worked a little bit in theater a long time ago, I was actually in this play some time ago. The acting was superb. The technical support was first class, and for that old auditorium to do as well as it did took a lot of work, and they made it work. So I really want to, thank the Academy for the hard work that they do, but also encourage others that haven't attended any of their performances, and we've had other members attend other performances. They are well worth attending. And whoever helped them with that set, I can't say enough about how professional it looked. Those hard seats are kind of tough about the second hour, but it was worth sitting for. So thank you.
Mr. Allison.
I'm still reeling from the fact that you have 500 kids at Arboga, because I think I remember when I think all the kids would fit on a postage stamp. So, thank you.
Mr. Fleury?
Yeah, I would just like to wish the staff a happy Thanksgiving, and at this time of year, it's really the time to count your blessings, and I think we think more of that after what's just happened last week. We have a lot to be thankful for, and just count your blessings and look at the positive side of life, because we never know day by day what is going to happen. And I've heard some of the survivors on TV say that. We've lost everything, but we still have our life. So count your blessing and enjoy your Thanksgiving with your families.
Mr. Crawford.
Yes, I've been asked now, I guess it's a formal title, with Mr. Bob Harlan with United Way to be the spokesperson for the schools. The last time I was asking you to support the spook run, and now we have the turkey trot coming up. Not only that, United Way is also involved daily in gathering turkeys, so I'm sure you follow that on a daily basis. And they've got over 4,000 turkeys already for the needy, and they're also involved quite closely with the evacuees and the tragedy in Paradise. So they're stretched thin, but they also asked me to promote the turkey trot, which will be in a couple weeks. And it's a healthy way to give to United Way. And they raised over $25,000 last year, and I hope to do the same this year. And it's just a super cause, and Mr. Harlan does a super job in Yuba Sutter area. So, thank you.
Thank you. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Operating Engineers Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association Number 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Unit. Next, we have public comments. Public comments are limited to a maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time for public input on each item per board bylaw 9323. The Ralph M. Brown Act prevents the Board of Trustees from responding to these comments with the exception of clarifying questions. The California Government Code Section 5495.4.2a states no action or discussion shall be undertaken on any item not appearing on the posted agenda, except for the members of a legislative body or its staff may briefly respond to statements made or questions posed by persons exercising their public testimony rights under Section 5495.4.3. So we do have two public comments, and I would ask each of our speakers to be respectful of the time. We do have a clock that's here that we'll start when you start, and then we need to be finished at the end of that 3 minutes. Our first speaker is Fabiola Barun. If you could, when you come to the mic, if you could please state your name.
Good evening. My name is Fabiola Barun, and I'm a science teacher at Yuba Gardens. And I was just concerned, as you had mentioned, with the campfire currently ongoing, what we will be doing in terms of at the school and how we're going to help our students. It is brought to my attention that a lot of them do wait quite a bit of time before getting onto the bus, waiting for the bus, going in between classes, and many of them show up, you know, almost an hour before school starts, and they're waiting outside. Right now, they're inside, and so I'm just wondering, as a concerned teacher and as a concerned citizen, what we're going to do to help our students while they are at school, and what we can provide for them to help them, because our air quality, I don't know if you all have been checking the air quality index, but it is currently, according to airnow.gov, it is at 245 parts per million, which is at level 5 of the 6 unhealthy levels there. What one being, of course, healthy, which is between the ranges of 0 and 60. Currently in Chico, it is about 145, so it's over 100 difference in parts per million. And so considering that other school districts are closed and we are still open, I was just hoping there was something we can do to help our students, possibly getting them some masks or something to help out while they are in school. So thank you, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Next we have Alice Johnson. And again, if you could state your name for the record.
Alice Johnson. I'm a student, I'm going to school now at Yuba College. So I'm doing a report on why there is still a gap for education of black students in the United States. So mine was doing the local area. And I couldn't wonder, my problem is, why is there such a gap when there's so many few black students in this district? So when I did my report, Marysville didn't do very well for student success for black students. So that's what my question is, why can't black students be educated in this environment of such a small number? And no one can give me a reason why. That's why I'm trying to find out. So that's my, I look at her pictures, I say, are there any black students in Marysville? Because in her picture, I didn't see one black child. So are there black students in Marysville schools or not doing anything, or what is happening? Can anybody tell me that? Are there black kids that go to school here anymore, or what?
So again, Ms. Johnson, we can't make comments.
I've asked before, how many black students graduate from Marysville? No one can tell me. So now I see pictures and everyone shows, there are no black kids. Where are they? Do they even go to school here anymore?
So it would be my recommendation to make an appointment with Dr. Starkey.
Okay.
So you can sit down, and I'm sure she has that data for you.
But it's really weird that in the pictures, no, we don't succeed, or what? When I talk to the kids out at the college, I haven't found one that graduated from Marysville that's black. So I'm just trying to find out. So who do I talk to make an appointment with her to find out about that?
Dr. Starkey.
Okay.
You could just call her or email her, and she'd be happy to meet with you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. The superintendent's report. We have superintendent's report.
Thank you very much. This has been a horrific time for the former inhabitants of Paradise. It has affected my family as well, and certainly we're doing everything possible to make sure that all of our students and staff are staying as safe as possible. There are measures in place. Schools that are closed are schools that are universities and colleges. The local schools are in session and just met with the Yuba County superintendents today. We're all monitoring the air quality very closely and working with air quality boards to ensure that we're doing everything possible to keep our students and staff safe. With that, hopefully we'll get some rain next week. That would be helpful on so many fronts. So to all of our staff and families that have been touched by this fire, please know that our hearts go out to you, and there are many levels of support that are here and will continue until everyone has a safe place to live and kids are back in school. Second on my superintendent's report is for Lenny Tate, the Executive Director of Ed Services, to share with you the California Dashboard Local Indicators and SB 395. Mrs. Tate.
You got it. So should I use this one? Okay. I wasn't sure you had had quite enough PowerPoint presentations yet this evening.
So thank you for providing one more.
One more, yeah. It's the season of giving.
I already have it on here. One second.
Oh, you already had it on there. Thank you.
That's what I do.
That's what he does. Good evening, I'm Lenny Tate, Executive Director of Educational Services. So nice to see all of you this evening. It's my pleasure to give to you a report on our California Department of Education Dashboard's local indicators and SB 395, which is our math placement information. The MJUSD local indicators are found on CDE's dashboard. You saw a little bit of it in Ashley's presentation. She showed you one of the 5x5s for her, where her school is in the district. Districts are measured on 7 priority areas for accountability. 5 are local indicators, and 2 are state-level priority areas. So one of the state-level priority areas is what Ashley showed you earlier. The district meets the 5 local priority areas by annually measuring progress, reporting the results at a board meeting, like tonight's, and finally reporting results on the state dashboard website. And we can either say that we met our local indicators, did not meet them, or did not meet them for 2 or more years. Oops, I think I went too quick. The first priority area is basic services, and Ms. Bobby Abold was here earlier and spoke to Williams. This priority area asks that we research the level to which teachers are assigned appropriately, students have access to their own copy of curriculum, and that facilities are in good shape. So part of basic services are teacher misassignments. This chart represents the number of misassigned teachers by site. The numbers in gray are from the 2017-18 SARC. That is where the state asks us to get our information from. The columns in green represent current data. Yellow indicates an increase in misassignments, and green indicates maintenance or improvement in misassignments. This table defines the condition of facilities from MJUSD's annual FIT report. And Bobby alluded to the Williams again on the facilities and mentioned how we were doing much better. According to the 2017-18 SARC, 95% of our facilities are in fair to good condition. Something I know well, the textbook area. We are 100% compliant in textbooks, not only in Williams, but in regards to students all having access to instructional materials here in the district. Priority 2 is the implementation of academic standards. The implementation of academic standards is measured by the local control funding formula self-assessment tool completed by all of our school leaders. I'm going to give you some of the data that they analyzed. So we look at professional development that's provided, and I have to beg your pardon, I forgot to mention I'm doing the report on behalf of Marysville Joint Unified School District as well as Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts. So when you look at this page, when you looked at the other pages, the charter school information was on those reports. In this one, charter school did their own survey, and so you'll see on the bottom right-hand corner are charter school's results. So we look at professional development, and we look at it in regards to English language arts, English language development, mathematics, next generation science standards, and history social science. And this is, the principals reporting on their perception from the site level. Site level understanding of professional learning needs of staffs. Teachers work with site administrators to set objectives tied to California standards for the teaching profession at the beginning of each school year. We look at progress in implementing academic standards in the classroom. A lot of the work that, Ashley spoke about tonight in regards to professional learning communities, gotta talk to the microphone, I think represents why some of these numbers are a little bit higher than some of those other numbers are. Implementing policies and programs to support staff and identifying areas where they can improve instruction. And up-to-date instructional materials. Similar to Williams, similar to the first priority where we have to have enough textbooks for every student. Priority 3 is also a local indicator, and it's tied to parent engagement. Similar to the surveys that Amber does with Nutrition Services, we also do a lot of engagement with the stakeholder surveys that we do for the LCAP, as well as ELAC and DLAC surveys. In addition, we also seek input from parents in decision-making tied to the different programs that we offer, for example, the Parent Institute for Quality Instruction we've offered recently, and then we're also looking now into some family literacy nights for parents. This priority ensures that Marysville Joint and Marysville Charter increase parent engagement by promoting parental participation and involvement. And again, this is just a spreadsheet you've seen, this is information you've seen many times in the LCAP where it describes the different surveys and the different meetings we hold tied to the LCAP. Priority four is not a local indicator. It's actually a state indicator, but I thought you might wonder why I would jump from 1, 2, 3 to 6. So I wanted to put 4 and 5 in here. These are the state results, and you've seen these before. What the state looks at is our academics, our English learner progress, and our college and career readiness when they look at priority 4. Oops, there you go. In regards to priority 5, it's also a state indicator that we've talked a lot about, people engagement. We want to decrease suspension rates, and we want to increase graduation rates. Looking at data, and one of the things in building this report that gets a little frustrating is that we are working with older data. We're working with data that's either a year old or 2 years old. We're so close to getting the new data. Ashley mentioned that we look to get new data here coming in December, and it's just not here yet. I actually have some data that's been embargoed by the state tied to college and career readiness, but we're not allowed to put it out to the public until we've looked at it and made sure that there's no errors in it. Priority 6, we're back to local indicators now, and this is school climate. Every other year, we provide the Healthy Kids Survey, and these are some of the results that we received from the students. On a scale out of 4, they scored they're academically motivated at 3.9. These are students scoring these. For school connectedness, they're saying 3.5. For parent involvement, 3.37. And then for feeling that their participation in school is meaningful, 2.2. So when you look at all of this data, and we bring it back to our staff, to our site administrators, and we talk about it, or we talk about it at district support team, that's what the goal is of measuring this data, is to go in and say, what's next? How do we get that 3.9 to a 4? We're that close. How do we get the 2.2 higher and help the students feel that they are having a meaningful experience at school?
Lenny, if I may, what was the maximum score? That is that a 1 to 4. 5?
4.
1 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then on this, another local indicator is that we provide a broad course of study to our students. We do that at the transitional kindergarten to eighth grade level by providing access to board-approved instructional materials. I've talked to a lot of you many times about how the state vets out our K-8 materials. That's part of this. We also provide access to PE instruction, and students have access to music instruction. At the high school level, I know you've heard a lot about our career tech ed classes and many of the other opportunities that our high school students are getting with AP classes, dual enrollment, state seals of biliteracy. So we have a course catalog that provides students with multiple opportunities to meet the A to G requirements. That includes coursework tied to visual and performing arts, health, career, technical education. Military science is now being added to the college and career indicator. So this year will be the first year that that's been added. So that will be our junior ROTC program that our students will get credit for. Dual enrollment and foreign language, including the state seal of biliteracy. In regards to the access to a broad course of study, 100% of our students have access to a broad course of study, whether it's at the elementary and middle school level or if it's at the high school level. I'm going to jump away from local indicators now. So my report on local indicators is behind us, and I'm moving forward with SB 395. SB 395 is not a local indicator, but a Senate bill that requires the school board be made aware of the number of students by subgroup in below grade level math courses in the ninth grade. Below grade level math courses, at level math courses, and above level math courses. So the column on the left-hand side are our number of students that are below grade level math course. A grade level math course for, and we're speaking only ninth graders, a grade level math course for a ninth grader is integrated 1. Now, in some situations that are alternative schools, they may still be taking algebra. Integrated 1 incorporates algebra inside of it. So when you look at this, to kind of get a big picture, you might want to just look at the female and male part, so you know that there's 60 students that are taking below grade level math courses, 612 students taking at grade level math courses, and 14 students taking above grade level math courses. And I spoke with Amy Stratton today, and one of our ninth graders is taking pre-calculus already. Pretty neat. I couldn't have done it. And then currently 60 out of 686 MJUSD ninth graders are placed in below grade level mathematics courses. And what this graph is showing, for example, I'll just start with the tallest green column. That's students with disabilities, and 32% of our students with disabilities are taking a below grade level math course. If I go back one slide and you want to know, well, how many students is that? If you look in the left-hand column and down towards the bottom, I know it's hard to see, it's small. Second to the bottom is students with disabilities. So 19 students represent that 32% of ninth graders below. Oops, I went the wrong way. No, I won't make you go backwards, I promise. Can push the right button. And then I think on an exciting note, the dashboard icon is changing. I don't know how many of you have accessed the dashboard and taken a look at those pies. It's, you know, you get one piece of red pie when you're in the red, and two pieces of orange when you're in the orange, and three pieces of yellow when you're in the yellow. And the whole pie is filled up when you're blue. But they've changed it now, no more pies. Now the pie pieces are going away and being replaced by a gauge. The website is also being modified to be better viewed on smartphones because the state understood that a lot more folks are accessing the website on smartphones as opposed to a laptop or a computer. So the gauge looks, you know, it's just a dial, and if you're in the orange, it'll point out the orange. And then finally, that's it, questions. And I can go back in slides if you'd like me to go back. I know that's a lot of data to give to you.
Do we have it? No.
And it's old.
that's a new app then? We can get on our iPhone?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know if it's going to be, I don't know that it's an app. I think that you can just go there to the website. That's how I do it. I was actually looking at it on my phone when Ashley was wondering if she had new data out or not. Yeah, the easiest way to get in is to, and that's how I do it actually too, I Google CDE dashboard and it pops right up. But it'll pop right up on on a smartphone as well if you're on your internet. It should do that. You shouldn't need a special app.
Thank you.
Ms. Scott, you've been on my mind. Every morning I wake up and there you are in front of me on my television set.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's got to be her. That's got to be her. I had to get confirmation.
That was me, and I'm glad it's over. I got tired of looking at myself.
You did a great job. You did a great job.
So I was just going to ask you, your facts were based on freshmen or ninth grade students. Is that correct?
For math.
Mm-hmm. For math?
Yes.
Okay.
And so, and that was part of that Senate bill. What was happening as we moved to Common Core math and our new state standards tied to math? The state was finding that too many students were not being provided a math class at their grade level. And so it brought it to our attention, and that's why they require us to look at our ninth grade and to report it to you. Excuse me. To report to you that we don't have excessive numbers of students that are taking below level math courses.
And what year was that based on?
Let me go back 1 second. This data is current. So right now, 32% of our special ed students this week are in below level math classes. So this is not one of the local indicators. Your data for your local indicators is the data that's older, but your math data, so the data when you look here and you're looking at the high number of students that are actually in integrated one in the correct class, that's what we want to see. And we also want to look at, when we look at those below grade level students, you're looking at 60 kids. When we have professional learning communities at the high school, they can dig into those students and find out why are they placed there? Are they surviving in those classes? Is there anything we can do to get them into integrated one sooner? So those are the conversations that are happening at the school site for those students.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions?
No. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Ms. Tate.
I think I can just close.
Next, we have the approval of minutes, the minutes from the regular board meeting of 10-23-18. Are there any additions or deletions? If not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Scott. All in favor, say aye.
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 Six yes. Motion carries. The consent agenda. Are there any items on the consent agenda that a member would like to have pulled? If not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Six yes. Motion carries. So now we move to new business. Board of Trustees, the annual organizational meeting of the Board of Trustees. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board select a day and time for the annual organizational meeting. Looks as though we have a proposal for the organizational meeting to be December 11th, 2018. Is there any discussion? Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Davis. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Six yes. Motion carries. Number two, board bylaws 9110, terms of office. We are going to open a public hearing. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board hold a public hearing regarding the revisions of board bylaw 9110. Do we have any discussion regarding that? We had our new and old in the packet. If not, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Motion to close.
Motion to close by Mr. Davis. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Allison. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Six yes. Motion carries. Now we need a motion. Now we need a motion regarding the revisions. Motion to approve the revisions by Mr. Allison. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Six yes. Motion carries. Next, we have Purchasing Department, Resolution 2018-19/17, Disposal of Surplus and Worn District Property for the 2018-2019 school year. We had a list of all of that in our packet.
Motion to approve surplus and worn district property as stated.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Allison. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Six yes. Motion carries. Child Development Program, Resolution 2018-19/18. Amendments to the 2018-19 Child Development Program contracts. So it looks as though we're just getting more money for our preschool program. Is there any discussion that needs to happen? If not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Davis. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Allison. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Six yes. Motion carries. I would like to thank Dr. Revelis for staying for our meeting to its entirety. Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned. Kathy.